the enemy is fully capable of doing what would appear to be or should be impossible, and that is to discourage us based on perception. All he has to do is put a picture in our minds and we defeat ourselves. But we make ourselves vulnerable to that if we are easily discouraged, if we are easily tripped up, if we are easily moved to the point of quitting by just simply perception. The only time that you have failed is when your perception comes to the point where it moves you to action. Perception is nothing more than a picture. And there may be periods of time where it may affect your emotions. But none of that means failure until it moves you to make a decision. And when it moves you to make a decision that leads to an action of quitting, then you fail. And we have to be careful, because the enemy is fully capable of doing what would appear to be or should be impossible, and that is to discourage us based on perception. And what I mean by that is all he has to do is put a picture in our minds and we defeat ourselves. But we make ourselves vulnerable to that if we are easily discouraged, if we are easily tripped up, if we are easily moved to the point of quitting by just simply perception. It's what you perceive it to be. If you perceive something to be insurmountable, you won't even make the attempt. Do you see what I'm saying? And so many times, especially with what we've got to do, we were given a land that was wild. We didn't even want to spend the night up here. Coyotes barking in the dark. We didn't know what else was up here. Didn't have no electricity, no water, nothing. And we could handle it for about one day. But beyond that, it got to be a little uncomfortable. And we have moved to the place where we're up here virtually all the time now. But to do that, there's a lot of work involved, and there's a lot that has to be done. And all of us have been at the point where we have been discouraged enough just to quit or to let this place go. But just because you come to that place don't mean that you have failed. The only time you've failed is when you quit. The only time that you have failed is when your perception comes to the point where it moves you to action. It's one thing to be disheartened. It's one thing to be discouraged. It's one thing to have a particular perception about the future and about what you're doing. But perception is nothing more than a picture. And there may be periods of time where it may affect your emotions. But none of that means failure until it moves you to make a decision. And when it moves you to make a decision that leads to an action of quitting, then you fail. I know this past week, going up and down that mountain, there were a couple of times after I'd been up it about four or five times, when I was on the way up, where the perception of that mountain looked a lot steeper than it did earlier that day. But just because it appeared steeper and my body was telling me that I was tired and my legs were telling me they felt more like jelly, and that I couldn't possibly make it up that mountain one more time, my will determined what I was going to do. I was either going to camp out halfway up, or I was going to keep going. And the perception of that mountain had nothing to do with what I chose to do. My decision chose what I was going to do. My decision decided whether or not I was going to complete the journey up that mountain, or if I was going to quit halfway up. And just because I felt like quitting, just because I felt like stopping, I didn't stop. I kept going up that mountain. Just because the first several attempts to get that water pumped up that mountain failed, if we had chosen and made the decision that it wasn't possible, we'd still have muddy water in those tanks down there. But my perception at the time was everything had failed, it wasn't possible. But your perception of the future is not always accurate. You've got to decide what is accurate. When your perception says all is lost, it's a very gloomy outlook. What is accurate at that point? What if the circumstances say you have failed? There is no chance of success at what you're doing. What is accurate? Open your Bibles to Hebrews. Yeah, your Bible's got Hebrews, unless they took it out. Did you take Hebrews out and lose it? Well, then it should still be here. Is Hebrews in the Bible? There it is right there. Hebrews chapter 4. See, somebody didn't take it out and lose it. Now, what is accurate? What is accurate when your perception says all has failed? And your emotions say all has failed? Go to Hebrews chapter 3 and look at verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now let's look at what we've got here. God led these people through the wilderness, took them the long way instead of the short way. Because if he took them the short way, they would have faced this insignificant people called the Philistines, who were still in development. And they would have faced war. And he didn't want them to face war because they might become discouraged and turn around and head back to Egypt. Instead, he sent them up through the wilderness. And I thought that was strange because he was just about to deliver them from the mightiest army in the world at that time, the Egyptians. But he didn't want to lead them up the short way because they might meet this insignificant people called the Philistines and go into war, get upset, turn around and head back. So he took them the long way. Why? Because the biggest enemy they faced was not the enemy from without, but it was the enemy from within. And they had to face that. For 40 years, they had to face that. And what was it that they faced? They faced discouragement. They faced situations which brought them to a place where their perception was this whole thing had failed. And they always came to this place, whether it was no water, whether it was no food, whether it was the wilderness, whatever it was, their perception always brought them to the place where they felt everything had failed. They would have been better to have died in Egypt. That it was better where they came from. And even when they came to the border of the land that God had sworn to give them, and they sent spies into the land to spy it out to see whether it was a good land, and the spies came back and said, yes, it is indeed a good land. But there are giants in the land, and we are grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we cannot take the land. So their perception and their outlook drove them to a place where emotionally they're looking at giants, they're looking at failure, they're looking at defeat. And it was the enemy from within that looked at that perception and made a decision, we will not go in. We will surely fail. And so they quit. And they made the decision to quit. And their perception of things drove them to take action. The question was, what was accurate? Their perception? Or was it the word that God had already told them? That's why the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. When it says hear his voice, he's saying, have you heard what God has said concerning your way, concerning your life, concerning what he wants to do in you and through you. Have you heard what God has determined for your life? Have you heard his voice for that? And if you've heard his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. What does that mean? Don't let your perception of the possibility of it taking place and the possibility of success determine whether you're going to obey or not. Don't let your perception of the circumstances determine the outcome, because your perception may not be accurate. If you follow your perception, you will harden your heart. Where do you hear God's voice? You hear God's voice in your heart. Where do people make the biggest mistake? They don't follow their heart, they follow their head. Perception takes place in your head. You hear God's word in your heart. If your head, with its perception, wins out, then it closes the door on what your heart has said. So you have this perception that things are gonna fail. And the circumstances that you see say they're going to fail. The odds are against you. But God has already said, this is the way I want you to go. God's word has said, he will show you the way you should go. His word says his spirit will lead you into all truth. His Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth concerning any given situation. I mean, we just saw that this past week. We tried everything. Nothing was working. I thought I had everything fixed up. But sometimes you just got to take a break and listen to your spirit. And it was just a matter of changing a little green wire with a black wire. But that was what the Spirit told me. He will lead you into all truth. So I couldn't follow my head. If I followed my head, we'd still be drinking dirty water. There comes a point where you have got to know what God has said about your life and about what he wants you to do. And just because your perception of things is gloomy and says it won't work, your heart can lead you into the truth that you need to make it successful, even if your circumstances say it's impossible. But you make the decision. Will you harden your heart, or will you listen to your heart? You make the decision. Will you follow your head, or will you follow your heart? Concerning the voice of God and what you've heard. Those that follow their head really commit a sin that is considered to be very high treason in the kingdom of God, and that is the sin of disobedience. And that is the one thing that will keep you in the wilderness. The one thing that will keep you in the wilderness, going round and round and round the desert, is the sin of disobedience. Why? Because the sin of disobedience means that you were following your head and not the voice of God. God's already told you to do it. You made the decision not to do it because all you see is failure. And so you make the decision that I'm not going to go through with this because I can't see it working. And so you choose to quit, or you take an easier path, or you do something that God hasn't told you to do. It doesn't matter. It's still the sin of disobedience, and the reason why people disobey is because they've made the decision based on what they can see and not based on what God has told them to do. And that keeps you in the wilderness.
I will obey and listen intently. I will obey and follow the steps you've ordered for me, knowing your will is right, knowing your love is setting me free, knowing your eyes don't sleep, constantly watching over me, and I will obey. And I will.